Okay, brothers, third session. More scolding, huh? Well, you know my heart, brothers. We need to leave about 15 minutes for some brothers to talk about the blending center. So I have about 25 minutes or something. Okay, let me still finish. Then I have one more thing, and that's it. On the family. So I will give somebody this thing to upload in your NorCal site, so it will be available to all the saints. So not only do we collect from the life studies these biblical examples of godly families. Brother Lee talks so much about Eve, probably, and Adam and Eve preaching the gospel to Abel mm-hmm. and Cain. Mm-hmm. That's about the way of God's salvation. Mm-hmm. They must have done that. Otherwise, they wouldn't know to offer animals because they were given skins to wear, you know, to cover their nakedness.
Yes.
So it's passed on. And then to Enosh. Oh, I forgot. Noah's family is another one. And so the Bible in the Old Testament and the New is full of this thought of generational godliness. It's not just one generation done, you know. No, there should be a lineage. There should be a transmission of something of the Lord from generation to generation to Amen. Generation. And you should pray for that. When you get married with your wife, you should pray for that right away. And when you start the family, you should pray for this. Lord, not only us, but our children and their children and their children, may they all be godly, serving families. That should be the. But no, today we don't think that way. We love the Lord. We're for the Lord's recovery. And so we do have even a lot of cases with godly parents, but children went to the four winds. So I want to see this restore, this kind of burden and view, all right? Now, I just want to say one thing. There is one side, and that is God's sovereignty. So we cannot guarantee, no matter how we pray and burden, that our children would be good and godly. So you have to read Romans 9, right? So... Yeah, it says, it is not him who will or him who run, but God who show mercy. Amen. Mercy and sovereignty are related, okay. God loved Esau. God loved Jacob, but hate Esau. I would be the opposite. I would hate Jacob and love Esau because Jacob is a supplanter and a liar and a... deceiver, and this guy is smart, you know, but somehow God loves him. What are you going to say? So Paul's word is, don't fight with the potter who molds the clay, makes one a vessel unto honor, one unto dishonor. Who are you, the clay, to argue with the potter? So there is something of God's sovereignty that is beyond us, no matter what we do. But brothers, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about our responsibility as parents. I'm talking about our duty as parents, our part. There's too much abdication of our responsibility on the parents. Not so much about schooling, education, we pour it on. I'm talking about the godly side. The spiritual side. So I gave actually four messages 15 years ago to the Spanish saints in Southern Cal on families. Number, I have 4S, right? Number one, a saved family. Number two, a spiritual family. Number three, number two, a sanctified family. Number three, that means not worldly, right? Number three, a spiritual family. A family that loves the Lord, that serves, that is for the Lord. And number four, a serving family. It's four S's. And so you have to start even when the baby is in the tummy, right? You have to start from when they're young, little children, to train them up in the word of the Lord, in just the fear of God, in so many things, to prepare them at a certain age that they would themselves be saved, right? To have that personal experience of regeneration, and then go on to even have a heart to pursue the Lord, because the family is like that. So, brothers, we it's not about dumping your kids in the church. It's about all of us have to build up such families in the church. Then this church will be healthy. And our children would be more likely to be preserved. Okay. Now, the last thing today I say in building up a local church is, brothers, we must pay attention to the sisters. Okay, the sisters. So a month ago, I was in Berkeley, and 700 or whatever number of sisters were there. Very, very encouraging. And I look at the sisters, I say, talk about Bay Area assets. Sitting right in front of me. Yeah. And gave them a word. And that meeting, I don't know how much they got help. I got a lot of help, as usual. That meeting sort of flipped me, really flipped me. And now just totally confirmed in my being, or convicted, you may even say, in my being, that generally, overall, we've been paying disproportionate attention to brothers in terms of caring for them, perfecting them, like you, like many of us, 2 years, 72 lessons. Did the sisters get that? No. Who is more important, you or the sisters? I quote Brother Lee, 2/3 of the building up of a local church depends on the sisters. So I joke with the brothers, this morning we should only have one session with you and 2 sessions with the sisters. I believe that. I fully believe that. That doesn't mean sisters are taking over, you know, they are now the head. No. You heard me in Berkeley, I don't know whether your wife's told you. I say the first function of the sisters is submission. It's a function. It's not just an attitude or a position. It's a function. They function by submitting. That's beautiful. I just love that thought. And then I said, the next thing is prayer, something like that. Sisters to pray. And then there was something else. Oh, to be mothers. To be mothers in the church life. And I didn't have time to say that much of mothers, of children that is not your own biologically, but spiritually. There's a transfer of life at the cross. There are 3 Marys there, or several women there, right? Mary, the mother of the Jesus, Mary, Magdalene, and then there's another Mary, I think. Who is the wife of Clopas? The wife of Clopas. Is that a Mary or whatever? Okay. Anyway, the point is, the Lord's mother was there, and on the cross. The Lord didn't say much on the cross. I mean, if you're on the cross, you don't think you would like to talk, right? The Lord, certain things were, two important conversations took place on the cross. One was with the malefactors. Those two criminals, he saved one of them, right? Today you'll be with me in paradise. He had a conversation. The other conversation was with the mother and his cousin, John, the one he loved. And he's a cousin of the Lord physically. Of all the things he could say, he said, "Mother, behold your son. And John, behold your mother." At the cross, where the old creation is finished terminated, and where the new creation begins by the release of the Lord's life, there's a transfer. So that one who is physically not your mother can become your mother in the new creation, in the spirit. And those who are your son, who is not really your son, can become your true son in the Lord, in the new, in resurrection. Hey. So Paul could say that greet so-and-so, Rufus' mother, who is my mother also. And Paul would say, Timothy, my son in the Lord. It's not physical, but it's almost more real than physical because there's this life transfer. So that's the speaking from Brother Lee concerning our need for more mothers. So the encouragement is for the sisters, all besides their own children, to have not adopt, to really, really have some genuine spiritual children of theirs to care for.
Amen.
Children, junior high, high school, college, and even working saints, those younger than them, right? Many of our wives have many such spiritual children. My wife does. Many, many spiritual children. And those children, many of them are brothers. My wife has a lot of brothers, sons. We have only two daughters, the son that I hope to have never came, and now we have many sons, more real than any kind of biological descendant. So that's the word we gave to the sisters. Now, brothers, this is it. Here it is. For a local church to be built, to be strong, to experience building up. I tell you, we need brothers, of course, of course. The brother has their role, the brothers have their position, and that's why we're here. But I'll tell you, in the operational sense, I tell you, we need the sisters more than the brothers. But we have not been paying adequate attention to them, so they don't need care. They don't feel cared for. They don't feel even they are, you know, the brothers. You know, the brothers, everything's the brothers. We just babysit. We need to just cook. We just need to, you know, what can we do? No, it's time we turn this thing around. I don't mean to make brothers sisters heads. No, that won't work. But I am saying to esteem the sisters. Esteem. You know that word. Mm-hmm. To treasure the sisters and their function.
Amen.
I tell you, you would make a big mistake if you mistreat a sister, including your wife. And if you can help a sister to go on, and I tell you, it's a great, great contribution to the church.
Amen.
So what am I saying? In your local church, brothers, I'm not a feminist, so I'm not here speaking on behalf of women. But I will tell you, even in the church life, there's a bit of unspoken kind of what? What is the word? They call it patriarchy. That men is everything. Unspoken. You know, the sisters just kind of, whatever. They do the thing in the kitchen, whatever. We need to treasure the sisters. And that's why I have 48 lessons for sisters. And help them. You know, they can sense if the brothers care for them or not, or respect them or not. Respect them or not. When they feel that there is such a care and such a respect, that does a lot to their feeling, even to their self-respect in the context of the church, their usefulness, their importance. And I'm not saying butter them up, you know, or make them feel good. No, brothers, this is real. This is real. Your church will not run or fly if the sisters are not running or flying. No matter what you brothers do flap, the brothers are flapping, this thing will not take off. But when the sisters are flapping and even you are not, this thing will fly. Such a God-ordained role for the sisters. But somewhat we a bit not paying attention, adequate attention to that. So now I hope that there's a, I give these lessons, they're in video form. You can feel free to access them as long as sponsored by the church, for sisters to come together to watch them, to get properly perfected and help and become useful, the sisters. And I hope this is not just old sisters. I'm talking about all ages,
amen,
including even college sisters. And help the sisters to relate to one another by affording occasions for sisters to come together for breakfast, for tea. You know, sisters, they have their sisters kind of thing, right? They need that kind of time to open up to one another, to enjoy the Lord together. They need that. So you brothers go and babysit. Let them have a good time. Let them do that. And also try to encourage them and build up the sisters' prayer, which is actually another church prayer meeting, except only the sisters. And brothers, I'll tell you, the sisters' prayer is so important. You know, I can almost feel it when the sisters are praying. You may not believe it, but when the sisters are not praying, something is missing. Because the sisters' prayer are usually finer, more, better coverage than we, the rough men, you know. No, I really mean that. I really mean that. So, but not only that, but in the care of the next generation, becoming mothers who care for the saints and the young people, the sisters can do so, so, so much more than we brothers.
Amen.
Brother Lee said, in a household, the men should be the head, right? Of course. But he said the sisters can take the lead in spiritual pursuit. Even the men doesn't. The wife can. Even the husband can, doesn't. The wife can. In that matter, take the lead. And usually when the mother takes the lead, the whole family follows. When the father takes the lead, not necessarily. So when the wife loves the Lord, likely the family will follow that. The father, not exactly the same. So I have too much to say, but I just want to. So this morning, brothers, okay, here are my conclude. The first thing is the moment we're in today.
Amen.
In Northern California. It's a golden moment.
Amen.
This opportunity, window of opportunity for the Lord to do something prevailing.
Amen.
Is here. Now it depends how we till the ground so that he can send the rain. Who is tilling the ground? We need a new consecration. We brothers,
amen.
At least we brothers, to cooperate with the Lord at this juncture, so the Lord can do much in the churches. The second thing I talk about is we must rebuild our life with the Lord, our inner relationship with the Lord, ourselves and the saints. You take time to do that. You just don't give a little message and be done. This is an ongoing thing. And you also need to build up our walk with the Lord, our daily walk. Even when no one is with us, our daily living for his testimony, to live Christ, really, and to walk by the Spirit. You know, today we don't even talk about the Lord saying no within us. So often in the day, the Lord say no. We don't even talk about that anymore. That's how you live by the Spirit.
Amen.
The Spirit speaking. Those who are led by the Spirit, these are the sons of God. Romans 8 again. Romans 8 again. Okay, so what else? The third thing is marriage and families. Marriage and families. Healthy marriages, godly families as building blocks of the church life. And finally, to release the function of the sisters, to activate the function of the sisters in the church life. I believe if we do these things, then gospel, shepherding, servicing, I'll tell you, it will be there in a vital way.
Amen.
Not in just an organized or arranged way. There will be the power there. There will be, because everyone's tank is full, or we're not in the red zone. What do you call it? I coined the word low-grade depression. That caught on. Now people talk about low-grade depression. Church life. The church life perpetually in low-grade depression. Today I have another word for that. That's red zone church life. That's the tank with no gas in it. Okay, I think this is good enough.